Hi, I'm Tim Daly, the voice of Superman.
Hey, superfans, this is George Newbern, Superman from the DC Animated Universe.
Hi, this is Gerard Christopher, Superboy from The Adventures of Superboy.
Hey, everyone, this is Laura Vandervoort. I played Supergirl or Kara Kent on Smallville.
Hey, comic book fans, this is John Glover, the Riddler from Batman, the Animated Series, and the evil Dr. Jason Woodrow from Batman and Robin, who got kissed to death by Uma Thurman, who played Poison Ivy, and Lex's dad, Lionel Luthor, from Smallville.
Hey, superhero fans or supervillain fans. How are you? This is Michael Rosenbaum from Smallville, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and my podcast, Inside of You, with Michael Rosenbaum. You're listening to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life.
Welcome one and all, this is Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. I'm your host, Joe Stuber, taking you on the road for the next few episodes. I'm going to bring you some of the fantastic moments I had with some of the biggest names in the biz as I caught up with them at a couple of conventions. All right, so for the next three episodes, you'll hear from the celebs who attended the most recent Cincinnati Comic Expo. After that, I'll bring you the memorable moments from my trip to GalaxyCon Columbus. Two big events here in the Buckeye State. I've been attending both for years. Love every minute of the adventures. And by the way, if you want to attend this year's events, here are the links you want to check out. For the Cincinnati Comic Expo, you can find info and tickets at cincyexpos.com. And for GalaxyCon Columbus, head to galaxycon.com. You will find both of those links in the show notes for this episode at my website, comicbookcentral.net. I'm going to keep everything for you in one convenient place. So if you check out the show notes, there's going to be a lot of links there for everything you're hearing on today's show. And hey, for you new listeners, you will also find each and every episode of Comic Book Central in the archive at the website, and links to the show on social media, and of course my YouTube channel. That's all on the website, comicbookcentral.net. Before we get to all of the celebrities today, I do have one more quick note. You followers on social media, you probably saw that I pushed the deadline for my anniversary giveaway to January 31st at 11:59 p.m. So you still have a bit of time to get in on that. Time's running out, not much left. But if you need the details for the giveaway, that's on episode 508, U.S. residents only. Sorry, international listeners, U.S. residents only. But you could score some really cool home video releases in a gift pack that I have there. So that's out there on social media. Episode 508 is the details. January 31st, 11:59 p.m. is the deadline. Get in on that. All right, big show to get to today. Check this out. I'm going to pay a couple of bills, and I'm going to be right back with part one of my adventure at the Cincinnati Comic Expo. Yeah, 2025 was the year of Superman, that is for sure. You superfans definitely know the connection between Ohio and the Man of Steel. Cincinnati Comic Expo definitely played it up with a super-sized guest list of celebrities and comic creators from the world of Superman. I had the honor of chatting with quite a few of them. In fact, over these next three episodes, I'm going to welcome back some of my favorite guests from past episodes of Comic Book Central. Many of them were at Cincinnati Comic Expo. Got to catch up with them at the show, see what they've been up to. I'm going to bring it all to you listeners right here. First up, let's talk animated Superman from the Justice League animated series. I caught up with the voice of Clark Kent and Superman, George Newbern. Welcome back to Comic Book Central. You're becoming a veteran of the show now. We're getting there, too. We caught up a little bit earlier this year in Cleveland. So how was your spring, summer, fall? How's everything?
When was Cleveland? Was it February?
Cleveland, I think it was like March. Was it February? I want to say March. I think they pushed it to March. A little bit.
Been busy. I've done 16 cons this year, so it's a lot.
Whoa. How is that for you? Like, is that a typical schedule for you, or is that new?
Most years and since they've been doing these cons, I guess it's been about 6 or 7 years. I've done 7 or 8 a year, so this is double, almost triple.
Wow.
But I think it's mostly because of the Superman movie that came out, and they got us all together. They sort of, you know.
It's the year of Superman. It is definitely the summer of Superman. So, well, how has the summer of Superman been for you?
Really fun.
Superman himself.
It's Tim Daly and I and Tom Welling and Tyler and Who else? Brandon Routh. We've had just a blast hanging out. Just a real good time.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I got to say, what's the most memorable? Well, 16 of them you said this year alone. So what's the most memorable fan interaction that you've had? Whether it was this year or what are you seeing from folks?
I'll tell you, it was this gentleman at, I think he was in Edmonton, Canada. And he said he was from someplace in Kenya. And he said that he, as a kid, his parents would put on the Justice League on the video cassette recorder and play it super loud in the living room because there was so much military fighting in the streets. So he would be soothed against the scary shooting in the street watching Justice League. And I was like, okay, that takes the cake right there.
Wow. So, okay, so when you're in the audio booth and you're recording things, and you don't get to see a lot of that at the moment, but all these years later, what does that do for you, and how does that make you feel, maybe even about the character and those heroic, that you're part of that heroic universe?
I think it's a testament to the power of these, you know, they're mythological, they're iconic superheroes that, you know, sort of transcend culture. So it was in Kenya or Abu Dhabi or, you know, whatever, these characters, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, you know, Flash, the Green Lantern, all of them in DC world, and of course in Marvel as well, they are, you know, they stand for things that are universal and mean things to people. So it's nice. It's not an American character. It's a global, you know, icon.
I think we see that in the new movie too, where we see just like internationally, people see that as a symbol of hope.
Right. Correct.
A lot of your most powerful moments as Superman come from vulnerability. Yeah. So it's taking that character. What's your process for finding that emotional truth, even in an animated performance, something that isn't even going to be animated for maybe months or years later?
You know, hopefully the writing is good, and for Justice League it's been really spot on. Some of the games are more difficult, honestly, because it can be cut up and disjointed, and there's no narrative really. But in the ones that there's the series where there was sort of vulnerability and whatnot, you have to kind of find out where everybody is in the story, because you don't oftentimes know exactly how it's going to be animated. Are we close together? Are we far apart or whatever? So once I know where the story is and you know what the emotional beat is, you just it's like any other acting job. You just be as honest as you can and put yourself in the situation and, you know, connect with the other actor, even though the other actor may not even be in the room with you.
Right. So, and that's getting more and more like that.
Yeah, way more. That's the challenge.
How do you adapt to that? Because it used to be like a radio play where you could feed off each other, or even the eyes of looking at another actor. Now you're in a closet or something.
Right. Yeah. So you just, it's the imagination. You have to use your imagination as an actor. That's what it is at the end of the day anyway. But theater on stage, you're definitely working off someone. But in animation, a lot of times you don't get that feedback.
Tim Daly is here. In fact, he is actually your table mate. He's right next door. Yeah. Do you guys trade Man of Steel stories at all, or how does that work? And if you don't, lie to us and pretend.
I took over for him when he was busy doing Wings, this TV show. And but I didn't really realize, honestly, what this would entail, and it would be going on this long. I mean, I am now the longest Superman for 19 years out there, so that's kind of cool.
Yes.
But I never thought it was a one-day job or a two-day job. I didn't know it was going to be an ongoing series, because actors are so in their head, and they're in the car, they're driving to meetings, and they go, hey, pull over, you've got an audition for, they're replacing somebody, and I didn't know it was Tim. I was like, okay, what's it for? Oh, Superman? Oh, is it just a...
Yeah.
I was not even paying attention. I just didn't, but...
Do you swap stories about recording, or like the character at all, or I mean,
really?
Just not,
I mean,
really, or is it just
really
like?
I mean, we talk more. We actually just
that's a fanboy question.
We
I apologize.
Actually talk a lot more about what it's like to be an actor, less about doing Superman specifically.
Right.
But we, you know, at these cons, it's been fun to see the fan interaction, and we'll say, "Oh my gosh, did you see that guy who came fully dressed up, or you see that little baby that came as Superman?" You know, that kind of stuff is.
Between the two of you, who's the bigger Boy Scout, and who has the better Clark Kent voice?
Gosh. I don't even know. I don't know. I don't think they're better. I think we're just a little different.
Is one of you a bigger Boy Scout?
I think he might be. I think he knows how to do it. He plays golf, so that's more of a Boy Scout thing. I don't play golf.
What's the favorite Superman line you've ever recorded?
Anything jump to mind?
Sometimes I feel like I live in a world made of cardboard. I love that quote. Yeah.
One guest actor you wish you'd gotten to share a scene with in Justice League. Was there somebody you're like, I missed them. They were here. That.
I think. Well, let me think. I think it was. I think I worked with everybody that I wanted to work with. Honestly, yeah, I really did.
Complete this sentence. Superman endures because
people like moral clarity.
Thank you so much for joining me again. I love having you on the show. Enjoy the weekend and take care.
Thank you.
And you can check out my earlier chat with George. That was in Cleveland on episode 490. My in-depth conversation with him, that would be episode 333. Always a blast to welcome him back to the show. Now prior to George landing the voice role of Superman for Justice League, actor Tim Daly had the role on Superman the Animated Series. Tim's been here a few times, in-depth chat as well, and a couple of Q&As at Terrificon. Terrificon, by the way, that was his very first convention, so that was a treat. Always enjoy meeting up with him. Here is Tim Daly. Okay, 2022, that's going back a couple of years. In-depth interview we did, the Terrificon Q&A, we did a Justice League Q&A, so it's been a little bit of a minute since we've had a chance to get together. What have the last couple of years been like for you, and what have you been up to? How do you keep the creative juices flowing?
I produced and acted in a little independent film that shot in Springfield, Missouri, that's now completed and making the festival circuit, called Dust to Malibu. And like most little tiny indies, we're seeking distribution and hope to, you know, find someone to put it on a screen someplace soon. I can be seen now in a sitcom that's on Netflix called Leanne, that stars Leanne Morgan, where I had sort of an extended guest starring part. I play her boyfriend, and I did 6 or 7 episodes.
Did it start like that, or does it sort of turn into like that because they're seeing what you're doing and they feel the writers feel like can do something with the character?
It was number B, the second one.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I did the first episode, and they took a shine to me, so they asked me back for some more. And Leanne and I, you know, hit it off. She's a darling person, and, you know, she's just kind and wonderful. And so it was really a lot of fun. So that, let's see, 2022. I can't remember. I think there were probably a couple other. I spent 2024 in the theater in New York.
Trend the boards again.
Yes,
okay.
I did a revival of Night of the Iguana off Broadway at the. That kicked my ass, frankly. But it was.
How long had it been since you've been on Broadway?
Well, it wasn't. It was off Broadway.
How long had it been since you treaded the boards?
Not that long. Oh,
okay.
I have a theater habit that I keep trying to kick, but I can't.
The muscles are still there.
Okay. And then I did a little 2-character play called Still, also off Broadway. So that was end of 23, 24. 22, oh gosh, I think there's something in there. You know,
we'll figure it out. You're keeping busy. But as far as Superman goes, because you're doing a lot of these conventions, you're seeing a lot more fan interaction. I think, was Terrificon one of the first? Was that the...
Where was Terrificon?
That was in Connecticut at the Mohegan Sun.
Yes, that was the first one.
Okay, so since then, you've been doing more conventions. What's the experience been like for you, the fan experience, especially now that Superman's hit Blu-ray, it's streaming, you have all this, it's reaching newer generations. What's the fan experience been like for you?
It's been about the same all along. And, you know, full disclosure, I was really trepidatious about doing cons because I didn't know if I would feel like I was taking advantage of people, you know, or something. But I have completely changed my mind about it because when you do television and film, you so rarely have a chance to interact with your audience. And it means so much to people to be able to spend a few minutes with you and get an autographed photo. And it means a lot to me, too, because if I've heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times. People say to me, "You were my childhood." Or I couldn't have gotten through this hard time if it wasn't for Superman or Wings or something. And that's it's profoundly meaningful to me. And it's very moving to me. I think I come away probably with emotionally more satisfied than than maybe the people that come and see me. But it's a great interaction. And I love seeing the fans.
Oh, it's a back and forth. Trust us, we all love it. We speak of 2022. My brain, my heart, everything goes back to the Q&A we did. Not just our Q&A, but then we also did a Justice League Q&A, which I believe was the last for Kevin Conroy. What do you remember about that experience, that weekend, being able to share that with your Justice League teammates and your fellow actors, and just that whole experience? Just, you know, did you suspect anything at the time, or how did you look at that weekend?
Well, honestly, you know, I mean, I wasn't with my fellow Justice League, Superman people the whole time, but I did get to hang out with Kevin a little bit, and I was extraordinarily worried about him. You know, with something like that, you don't want to say the wrong thing, because I think that Kevin was, you know, till the end, he was out here interacting with his fans and being the great guy that he is, and you know, it was sad that it was so short after that he passed.
Yeah, I was wondering how the Q&A was going to go, and he walked in, and it was standing room only. I mean, and he hit the voice, and the place exploded. And when you guys all did the voices and the lines, the place exploded. What is that like for you, especially when you see when Conroy walks in and takes over, and then all of a sudden you get to feed off that vibe? What was that like for you all? Just, it's almost like you guys are rock stars in a set.
I mean, it's crazy. You know, yeah. Again, I admit that when I did this way back when, I didn't know how important Superman was to so many people. I thought it was for a bunch of little kids on Saturday morning cartoon. I didn't realize that there was this huge, deep fan base of not only children, but adults and everything in between who really sparked the Superman and Batman and the whole series. So it's surprising and a real honor.
Your counterpart, George Newbert, is your table mate right now. So I'm going to ask you the same thing I asked him. Do you guys ever share any Superman story? He didn't think, he couldn't recall any, but like, so you guys just, he said you guys just chit-chat about acting. But do you ever feel like you want to just talk Superman, especially at a Superman show? And if not, please lie to us and make our fans think you will.
Well, I spend most of the time, I try to avoid George because he's so problematic. I mean, you know, he may look like a sweet guy, but oh my God, what a pain in the ass. Just anything I can do to get away from him. No, I'm kidding. I love George. And
it almost like feels like you're talking about Stephen Weber there for a second.
Same thing. Same deal. Yeah, put them both in the same bucket. No, George is a great guy, and we've actually become very friendly through doing these cons. But yeah, we had worked together before in a TV movie, which had nothing to do with Superman.
Right.
You know, he's a great actor and a good guy, and we don't really share that many Superman stories because we weren't Superman at the same time, or we were different Superman. So,
right. You have your own.
Yeah, we have our own.
Okay.
You know, experience of it.
Who's the bigger Boy Scout between the two of you?
I think me, by far.
And he agreed.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You guys are sympathetic.
You know, and I used to think it was an insult being called a Boy Scout, but now I've completely changed my mind about that because, you know, my now wife Taya always says, "Oh gosh, I really need a Band-Aid." I'm like, "Got one right here in my backpack."
Yeah. That's perfect. Well, that's very Clark Kent.
Oh, crap. I really wish I had some Advil. I got a terrible headache. Got some right here in my backpack. So I'm prepared.
Quick speed round. One word to describe your Superman.
Iconic.
What's the most unexpected place someone has recognized your voice as Superman?
Every Starbucks in North America.
Finish this sentence. Superman endures because...
he is an archetypal character who represents something that we all feel is inside us. We all feel that we're regular people walking around but have the potential to do something heroic.
Tim, you're a Comic Book Central veteran. I appreciate you joining me on the show again.
Thank you so much, Joe. Good to see you.
DustToMalibuMovie.com. That is where you go to find out more about Tim's latest film. I'm going to put that link in the show notes for this episode at my website, comicbookcentral.net. My in-depth interview with Tim, that was episode 416. My Terrificon Q&A with him and his fellow voice actors, episode 423. And my Terrificon Q&A with Tim by himself, episode 424. So a lot of Tim Daly here in Comic Book Central. All right, from animated Superman to live-action Superboy, right around the corner at the Cincinnati Comic Expo, was yet another friend of Comic Book Central. He was one of my earliest guests way back on episode 32 from the Superboy TV series. Here is Gerard Christopher.
2014, so it's been a hot minute since we've had a chance to chat. Thank you so much for doing this. Look, let's reconnect now. What's been up for you over the past decade? What have you been getting into?
I've been writing a little bit.
Nice.
I'm writing like two scripts now. For a while, I was just kind of being a dad and kind of just enjoying my life. I'm a pilot. I like work out a lot. I was just enjoying my life and kind of backing off from the business and having fun. But now I'm kind of back in. I got a theatrical agent again just recently. I'm writing again and kind of having a little fun.
Yeah.
These shows are always a good time. I mean, it's really nice to connect with people. It's fun to see like old actors I haven't seen for a long time that I know and I've worked with, or some that I just ran into. It's been a lot of fun.
Who is the one? Because this is a Friday for listeners. This is a Friday, so we're just getting here. Yeah. And it's pretty much Superman, Superboy, Kal-El, that whole world themed this year. It's the year, summer of Superman. It's the year of Superman. So who have you seen thus far? I know it's just a couple hours in, but or who are you looking forward to seeing this weekend?
I've seen Tom Welling. I ran into Karen Allen, who I haven't seen since like years ago, and I used to go, I don't know if any of your fans are going to know what Studio 54 was.
Yeah.
I used to go to Studio 54, and she was there occasionally, and I remember running into her, and I reminded her of some of this. I don't know if she wanted to be reminded of it, but I reminded her that, hey, I used to run into you there, and we had a good little chat about that. And I met some people.
Did she remember it? I mean, did she? Oh, it was. Yeah. Did that story go over well, or was it like...
Yeah. And I met some new people here. That beautiful young girl, Michaela. And so she's kind of like a new person that I kind of hooked up with here. But that's about it. I mean, tomorrow I'll see some of the other guys that played Superman that I know very well, like Tyler. And Dean's not going to make it this time.
Yeah.
And, of course, Brandon's going to be out tomorrow, too. So those guys I know pretty well.
Now, they've all been on the show. I've had the honor of doing Michaela's Q&A over the summer at Trificon. She's fantastic. I mean, she's got a lot of great stories. So, no, you're going to have a blast. You've been doing a lot of these conventions, I think probably even more, maybe as it gets more recently.
I did like way long ago, but I mean, I don't do that long. This year, I've only done this one, and I'm trying to think of that I did...
But you're a veteran of them.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what they're about. You were probably doing them before they became
like,
huge.
Yes. Well, as a matter of fact, I did. Yeah. For some people, like Mike Broder, I don't know if you know his show's Galaxy Con.
Yeah.
You know, I did like his first show. And then it was like, what the hell is this, you know?
Right.
And now his shows are huge.
Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah. And this show is great. I mean, this show is probably the best organized show I've ever seen. I mean... in terms of what they do for the actors and just keeping us comfortable and giving us, you know, what we need and giving us help and all that stuff. I mean, these guys are just top-notch here.
Yeah. Well, what's the fan interaction been for you? Because especially since, I think there's a new book out, Mark Edlitz wrote a great new book, and it details everything. I had a chance to chat with him about it. There are the DVD sets out there. I believe it's streaming on Amazon as well.
It's on Amazon, and I think somebody told me, one of the other, not free services, but it's not Freevee. It was with an F.
Tubi or
something. One of those.
Okay.
One of those. So
we'll figure it out. I'll put it up.
So the fans were nice that have been here. A lot of them said, hey, you know, I just watched them all again.
Right.
So I have to say the fans in the Midwest are the best fans, like in the country. And I'm not joking.
Yeah.
It's like I just did the Kansas City show. What no, was it Kansas City?
Metropolis, Illinois.
No. I might do that next year.
The Superman celebration. Okay.
What was the other one that they had? We just did a big Kansas City. I think it was Kansas City.
Okay. Listen, you're in the Midwest. You're in the home of Superman. You're in the home state of Superman.
No,
so it doesn't get any better than this.
The people here are engaged.
Yeah.
They love it. But it's really nice to be in the middle of the country doing a show like this, you know.
Well, that's why they had Clark raised in the Midwest, you know. That's why he's so nice, you know. He didn't... How do you see the Superboy series? I mean, because obviously the character's redefined all the time. Right. Even now, you mentioned Tyler's show. We've got the James Gunn movies, David Cornsweet. Where do you see the Superboy TV series place in that legacy? Have you ever thought about it, or are you thinking more about it now?
No, I did. I mean, that's a really good question. I mean, I grew up with watching George Reeves' show, right? So after that, the next iteration of Superman was Chris Reeve.
Mm-hmm.
I watched those. My show was the first one that brought it back to television since the 1950s.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of a really big deal. So I felt like everything else was a jumping off point. My show was a jumping off point for all the other shows. it's iterated a lot. You know, my show was kind of more in line with like what Chris Reeve's show, you know, what he was doing.
It was almost like
movie.
A prequel to it. Kind of. That was the same producer.
Same producer. So yeah. There was a lot of pressure to kind of do it the same way, which I was glad to do. And then afterwards, to see it kind of change a little bit has been kind of interesting. Changes to the costume. You know, Tom Welling, it was no tights, no flights, all that stuff.
Right.
So people have been doing it differently. I don't follow the comics so much to know what has been going on in the comics, but I hear some crazy stuff's been going on in the comics. The new movie I haven't seen yet.
Okay.
But I'm really looking forward to it.
I was curious about that. Do you watch it with on these things? I know when you see the movie, but do you watch them with an eye of a little bit of possessiveness of the character, or do you watch them with, let's see what they did with it, or... Like, how do you view
it's
the
kind
character of
like
Clark or Kal-El?
Well, maybe you might think, oh, like how I would have done it differently, or would I have done it the same?
Yeah.
Or you think, oh, wow, he really surprised me on that. Or sometimes it's about, like, the production. Oh, do I like his costume, or do I not like the costume? Or they could have made this thing a little bit more interesting, or, man, they made it great. I have to say, though, I really, really enjoyed Brandon Routh.
Yeah.
I think for me, and this is just my personal opinion, I think he was the best Superman. I mean, I think he's my favorite Superman.
Yeah.
I just think he's really good. I think he just captured it just in the right way. You know, a lot of people that are these, like, I would say purists. I mean, I hope a couple of them don't listen to this. Because if some people, you know, are so crazy for Christopher Reeve, and Christopher Reeve was great.
Yeah.
And he was like my Superman.
We say that as I'm sitting here wearing a Christopher Reeve shirt, so I got it, full disclosure.
And I try to emulate him myself, but...
Right.
For me, I thought Brandon was like underappreciated, and I think he did a great job. I mean, just my opinion. And I think he had some incredible scenes in that movie too.
Yeah.
You know, that was kind of special.
I had the honor of telling him that he was a great bookend for the Christopher Reeve movies, that he kind of closed it out. And I felt that that was right out of that Donner era. So.
And you know, he's even like the same type, tall, good-looking guy, the hair.
He's the voice.
He's like, he was just a great character all around, and he did a great job.
Yeah, yeah. Stan Berkowitz is here. He wrote and edited. There are answers. You do know that, or you don't know that?
He's here?
Well, he's not in this little arena. He's in the other arena. But, okay, so that answer. So
I haven't seen him in years.
He wrote, story edited some of Superboy's standout episodes. What are your memories of working along with him and the writing team?
I would say Stan was like Joe Cool. He was like the coolest cat like there. He was like, you had a problem, he'd come in and... He had a very kind of sarcastic sense of humor, and he could just, when things were going to shit, he could just like make you feel good about it. And he was incredibly talented. And I wrote a couple episodes, and he like was really helpful with that. And he just wrote some really good stuff. And without him, the show would have been crap.
I promise I keep it tight. I'm going to go speed round. First thing that comes to your mind when you hear the word Superboy.
Christmas colors.
Coolest thing about wearing the cape and the least cool thing?
The history is the coolest thing. The least cool thing was it was incredibly hot in Florida. And it was wool and very thick tights, you know.
What's the one thing fans quote back to you the most about Superboy?
It's like up, up and away, or kind of goofy stuff like that. Or it's a Lex Luthor quote, like something I said to Lex, something like that.
If you and Stacey Heideck were to appear in something now, some type of, you know, rom-com or something or whatever, or superhero project, whatever, how do you think that would play out? What would it be?
I think it would go over really well. Have you seen her? She's beautiful.
She's an age.
Really?
And you have an age today. I'm
really
going to say that, too.
Nice-looking actress and a really good actress, and I'd go for that in a second, man. I think it would be great. I'd love to see her, like the two of us, on some, like, romantic show on television or something like that. That'd be great.
You have an age today, and you're still jacked, so you could be in the suit. Would you do that if they did an Elseworlds thing and come back as a something, or would you put him on again?
Is that a trick question?
No, that's a legit.
Of course I would.
That's what we want to hear.
Of course I would.
That's what we want to hear. George, thank you so much for joining me again, and let's do this again. Let's not let it be over a decade next time.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. It was great to be on your number 32 episode, and thanks for doing this. I'd love to come back.
In that chat, we mentioned the great Karen Allen and the super talented Stan Berkowitz.
Stay tuned, listeners. You're going to be hearing from them right here on Comic Book Central very soon. Again, my in-depth chat with Gerard, that was episode 32. We talked all about his career and the Superboy TV series, so much more. Glad I finally got to meet up with him in person. If you haven't seen the series, as of this recording, it is streaming on Amazon Prime, and the DVD sets are available from Warner Brothers, so be sure to check them out. All right, Gerard took on the role of Kal-El with flights and tights. As he mentioned, by the time the TV series Smallville hit the airwaves, the rule was no flights, no tights. Clark Kent before the supersuit. Over the years here on Comic Book Central, I have had conversations with just about everyone from Smallville. Always a blast when I get to meet up with them in person at conventions like the Cincinnati Comic Expo, where Smallville was well represented. Big year for Smallville, 25th anniversary this year. Got to celebrate early with some of the cast. First up, Michael Rosenbaum. Yeah, longtime friend of the show. Lex Luthor himself. He's been here quite a few times. I spoke with Michael and Tom Welling, who played Clark, back on episode 415 when they launched their podcast, Talkville. That's their Smallville rewatch podcast. On that episode, I asked Michael if he was in for the full ride on the rewatch, especially since he wasn't in seasons 8 through 10 of the show. He came back for the final episode, but 8 through 10, he wasn't in it. Well, the gents, they made it to season 8, so I had to follow up with Michael. Here is Michael Rosenbaum on continuing Talkville with, I'm going to let you know, there's a surprise cameo during the interview from Superman's Cat Grant herself, Michaela Hoover. All right, welcome back, Michael Rosenbaum, to Comic Book Central. Coming up on season 8 of Talkville, this is the infamous You Ain't In It season. What's the plan as you approach these shows? Are you going to, just give Tom grief? Are you going to Mystery Science Theater him? How's it going
to
work?
Well, I haven't committed to the next three yet, but I'm considering it. Since I'm not in them,
Why would you not?
Well, because I'm not in them, so it's weird talking about a show that I'm not in that I'm, critiquing.
But isn't that better?
Maybe. I know the fans want me to come back, so I'm thinking about it. And if I do it, I'd be doing it for them, just like I came back in season 10 of Smallville.
Yeah.
But, I love Talkville. I have a brand new appreciation for Smallville. I love working with Tom and Ryan, and it's been a real treat. And I'm amazed how many people love the show.
But you know, there are other actors in the following seasons that kind of play Lex. Wouldn't it be a kick to just kind of talk about them or have them on the show and ask them or give them some grief?
Sure, it would be interesting. But hi, that's Michaela. She was in Superman. And
I ran her Q&A in Terrificon. Love you so much, too. I got to run her Q&A in Terrificon. Awesome. And we're not going to see you in Terrificon next year for the 25th. What happened?
I don't know. Yeah, you got talk booked to my agent,
I know.
Man.
You got
talk
booked
to my
that.
Agent.
So the guys playing Lex Luthor that are coming up, wouldn't that be?
Yeah, I'm excited.
Have you talked to any of them?
No, but like the woman who plays my sister, of course, Cassidy Freeman, I'd love to talk to her. So yeah, there are a lot of people I'd love to talk to about it. So if it happens, I'm definitely going to be jumping in their DMs or emailing them or trying to get them on the podcast.
You and Tom have taken Smallville to new heights with Talkville and going through the cruises and all the different the podcasts and everything. What's been your most enjoyable fan experience? I know the cruise took it to a completely different level.
Yeah, I think just when I meet people and they tell me how Smallville impacted their lives or had some impact on them, like whether it's their relationship with their father, that's Tuesday nights were Smallville night with Dad, or soldiers in Iraq talking about how Smallville got them through it. Those moments I cherish those moments, and they mean so much to me. And it's amazing how a show can sort of bring so many people together. So I love that.
Michael, always good catching up with you. Continued success. Thank you for joining me. You're a veteran now at this point in Comic Book Central.
Four or five times,
yeah, I think now.
Yeah.
So
I love it.
Appreciate it.
I'm always wishing you the
maybe
best.
Maybe on a cruise one of these days. We'll do it.
Right, come on, man. Bring it.
I will do it. Love Boat style.
Love Boat. I love it.
Okay, since that interview at the Cincinnati Comic Expo, Michael has announced that he and Tom Welling will be back for season 8 of Talkville. Their show returns February 25th. It should be interesting for him to watch the episodes he's not in. That is, I think, going to be some comedy gold right there. And look, who knows? Maybe I helped convince him to return for season 8. Who knows? I know all the fans have been asking him to do that. But, you know, maybe I had a little bit of influence. I like to think that. Michael was my second ever guest on the show. Yeah, episode 2 all the way back. You can check out our chats on episode 2, 258, 415, and 431. Yeah, he's been here a bunch of times. And then right next to Michael at the convention was yet another returning guest, Michael's Smallville dad, the great John Glover. He played Lionel Luthor. Got to chat with John about 25 years of Smallville. And now he's hitting the high seas with the cast for Cruiseville. Here is the one and only John Glover.
All right, John, welcome back to Comic Book Central. Always a pleasure to have you as a guest on the show. We've talked about someone. We've talked about Batman. We've talked about Smallville. We've talked about Shazam. Now let's talk about 25 years of Smallville. It's right around the corner. When you're doing these podcasts with Michael, the cruises, these conventions, are you seeing the show 25 years later in a different way than when you were filming it?
Oh, my God. Yeah. You know, I'm 81 years old now, so I don't know what... I mean, it was a long time ago that we did all this, so I don't... I mean, I had a great time doing it, playing Lionel, and working with all these people. So who I get to see when we do these cons, and it's great. But I'm just happy to have done it. And I don't, you know, I'm wondering if I'm not going to do things anymore. I don't know. I mean, it's been a while.
Like anything or just convention?
Well,
I'm always wondering if I'm ever going to do anything ever again.
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
I mean, am I going to just be a convention actor and come and live with my past?
Yeah.
Or if I'm going to get to create another character or something anytime, I don't know.
Well, what is it? What character do you want to create? Would it be on television? Would it be on the stage? I think you prefer the stage a lot of times, right?
Well, the stage.
But that would be tricky, I would imagine.
Well, yes, with my memory, it's
I'm thinking of the how many hours and how many days you have to put in over and over.
Well, that's all right. It's just I lose words and things, and if it's a film or TV, you can go back and do it again.
Yeah.
So, but I would like to keep working.
Yeah. What kind of character do you want to play that you haven't played yet? You played everything.
Well, some kind of interesting character that is human and maybe got some problems. That he knows
some baggage.
Yeah, that he knows he needs to work on, and people think he's one thing when he's not that thing. But you know, just a kind of real human character that's fascinating.
You're doing Smallville cruises. What was that like? That's got to be next level for Smallville fandom.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I mean,
is it like The Love Boat? Is it like an episode of The Love Boat?
I never watched The Love Boat. Oh, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. I'll let that one go.
No, but I got to meet them. I mean, at these cons, we meet people.
Yeah.
But on a boat for a couple of weeks, you know, you get to know some people. So the trips on the boat are terrific. That, you know, it's not, they don't become fans, they sort of become acquaintances.
Oh, friends, boat, you know, cruise buddies.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you karaoke?
You know, it was on a cruise that I did my first, because I sing off key and things, and I'm embarrassed, but I had the balls to get up on the ship.
You and Michael?
No.
Oh, by yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, that is ballsy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I sang There's No Business Like Show Business. That's really loudly. Yeah. I don't know how good it was.
I can't wait to see. I'm sure it's on YouTube somewhere. Fill in the blank. Looking back at 25 years, a legacy of Smallville, I appreciate...
having done it. I had a ball. It was great. And I watched Lionel, or I made Lionel change from just a father that wasn't a very good father into a very human person who learned to be human because of Annette O'Toole, Martha.
You remember working with her, I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay. I see Michael and everybody at the cons, but in real life, Annette and I are see each other. We have dinner together. I go to their house, they come to mine. So I still see her.
Lionel and Martha Kent still hanging out.
Yeah.
I love it. John, thank you so much for joining me again. Have a great rest of the weekend. Safe travels and continued success.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Oh, man, I've got to book passage on one of those cruises. That would be really cool, right? It'd be like the Love Boat meets Smallville. Yeah. That sounds like they have a lot of fun on those cruises. Cruiseville.com if you want to book passage and meet up with John and his castmates. Wonder what he's going to sing this year. I mean, who knows what's going to happen on the boat, right? Oh, by the way, if you want to hear more of my chats with John, he's been here a few times as well. Episode 262, that's the in-depth conversation. We talked about everything Smallville, Batman and Robin, so much more. You can also hear from him on episodes 264 and 431. Again, lots of folks coming back to Comic Book Central. So glad I get to catch up with them. All right, one more guest to help me celebrate 25 years of Smallville. Back on episode 80, I got to chat with a lovely and talented Laura Vandervoort about her career, especially her roles as an alien on V, a werewolf on Bitten, and of course, Kara Zor-El on Smallville. She played the last daughter of Krypton. So much fun catching up with her as well. Here is Laura Vandervoort.
Laura, welcome back to Comic Book Central. It's been a minute since we last chatted, so we are fast approaching the 25th anniversary of Smallville. Does it feel like it's been a quarter of a century, or does it feel just like yesterday that you were filming it?
It feels like it's been a quarter of a century.
In what way?
Well, I mean, not just Smallville, but like a movie that I did when I was 12 or 13 just turned 25 as well. So it's a Disney Halloween movie that airs every October.
Okay.
And so it's a constant reminder of this business that I've been in for the majority of my life.
Oh, this is almost like It's a Wonderful Life, just coming back once a year, back at you. Wow.
Yeah, it's been a long journey in this business, but I'm grateful I continue to work and I'm evolving into producing and directing.
Well, what's coming up? What are you working on now?
As an actor, I have a Christmas movie coming out this year November 3rd, I believe. I just shot another Christmas movie for next year. I'm developing a TV show, and I'm supposed to direct next year a thriller. So I'm working on more development stuff, but continuing to work as an actor.
Nice. Now, Smallville introduced you as the modern Supergirl. You're here at a convention with the original Supergirl herself, Helen Slater, who is your table mate right next door. What's it like sharing the super spotlight again with her?
I love Helen. The entire cast of Smallville adores her. And we worked together on the show, and I was nervous to meet her. I wanted her to like me. I wanted her to, you know, be happy with me as the casting of the next Supergirl. And she was, and she's so gracious. And then at these shows, I'm getting to know her a little bit more. And we always have such deep, meaningful conversations. Like, she's the most genuine person. She's deep. She's so well-educated. She's constantly teaching us as women about the experiences she's had. So I adore her. And she's funny.
Yes, very. Fill in the blank. 25 years later, my favorite thing about being part of the Smallville legacy is?
The friendships that I've made with the cast.
We see that. And yeah. even Michael Rosenbaum?
Yeah, of course.
Did you keep him in line?
Yes, of course. I mean, I think Michael said this on the panel yesterday, we all allow one another to be who we are and appreciate them for that. And we all have such different personalities. And for whatever reason, I think we've talked about this on panels, it's cosmic. Like, we just all fit. It's we balance each other out. I think Tom even referred to it as like a yin-yang thing or something like that. I mean, it's just like the universe brought us together and it's worked and we've gotten closer with conventions.
Thanks for joining me again on Comic Book Central. Looking forward to having you back for a more in-depth chat again and find out everything you're up to.
And congrats on the success that you've had and how busy you've been. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
LauraVandervoort.com. That's where you want to be to keep up with everything Laura's got going on. I'm going to put that link in the show notes for this episode at my website, comicbookcentral.net, so you know where to go. So glad I got to catch up with her as Smallville celebrates its silver anniversary. Okay, folks, that is it for part one of my adventure at the Cincinnati Comic Expo. My thanks to George Newbern, Tim Daly, Gerard Christopher, Michael Rosenbaum, John Glover, and Laura Vandervoort for sharing some of their time with me at the convention. But this super celebration has just gotten started. Next time around, the celebration of Superman continues. Joining me from the first two Christopher Reeve Superman flicks, the Kryptonian villains Sarah Douglas and Jack O'Halloran return to Comic Book Central. The supervillainy continues as I catch up with the big baddie from Superman 4. Yeah, Nuclear Man himself, Mark Pillow. He's going to be here. And I will bring you a special preview of a Superman movie must-have that hasn't been around in over 45 years. Jay Towers, he's going to preview that item for us. Man, going back to the 70s and 80s and the Christopher Reeve Superman films, the next time we get together, you do not want to miss it. Get in on the home video giveaway if you haven't already. January 31st, 11:59, that is the deadline. Until next time, keep safe, keep reading those comics, and thanks for joining me here in the Lair, Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Comic Book Central. All other content and names are registered trademarks and copyrights of the respective holders.
I feel like I live in a world made of cardboard, always taking constant care not to break something, to break someone. Never allowing myself to lose control, even for a moment, or someone could die. But you can take it, can't you, big man? What we have here is a rare opportunity for me to cut loose and show you just how powerful I really am.